This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2018, held in Harrisonburg, Virginia on March 2 and 3.
All right. Good morning to all of you. And establishing school absence policies. I'm not sure what you're looking for in this session, but hopefully we can have a little discussion and figure out the best approach. I think last night Gerald laid a good foundation, and if we all had the proper value of education, maybe it would help. I was thinking that maybe what we should start doing is get a copy of the recording last evening and have the, you know, every time we get a new family in our school, they should listen to that that topic. I felt that was well said. So yesterday in our prayer time, something was mentioned about this session here, and they sort of chuckled and they asked, "Okay, is this an absence policy for the teacher or for the student?" I guess mostly we're going to be talking about students, I think, at this point, unless I guess the need is more there for the teachers. I didn't really research much information as far as the teachers, but interesting thing, I was at the Faith Builders Administrators Conference, and it seems like the schools that struggle more with teachers taking off are maybe the VS schools or maybe more individualized schools. And one thing that we do is we require the teacher to contact the substitute from a list of pre-approved substitutes, and they have to prepare the lessons and make sure the person is, there's a lot of work involved in getting a substitute. And so I think that at least as a second, once they're teaching 2 years, they figure they might as well be back instead of, you know, try to find a substitute a lot of times. So, and then I think as well, once they take off more than 2 days, it starts cutting into their pay. So that, I think that helps as well. All right, maybe just a quick introduction on myself. I'm the administrator at Lebanon Valley School, Myerstown, PA. I'm actually an off-site administrator, so I'm not teaching in the class. But I've been administrator there for, I think, 7 or 8 years now. And we have a principal on staff full-time. I work very closely with him. He takes care of all the day-to-day activities, the discipline, the connecting with the teachers, things like that, working with them, and then I go in 1 day a week for a part day and try to do all the organizational things, so forth. The rest of my time, I am involved in with our family business there at Printing the Fish Wrapper, if you ever heard of that. So Little Mount Printing Fish Wrapper, that's what I do full-time, besides administrating full-time. So there are times that I do have to leave, you know, something happens. We have 170 students in our school from grades 1 through 12. It's looking like 180 next year. So we get a lot of requests for unique things at times. So one of the things I wanted to do when I became the new administrator was change the excused absence policy. One of the things, you know, people talked about was the bad guy, the bad administrator. You know, he made me, he kept me from doing this. You would hear a lot of things, a lot of people blaming things on him. We couldn't stay in Florida longer because the administrator won't let us off. My grades were docked. It was his fault. And, I wanted to take off to go shopping with my mom, but, you know, we weren't allowed to. But anyhow, my friends can go shopping when they're on family vacation. They can, they go snowmobiling and whatever else, you know, when they're going on vacation. So what, it becomes a challenge. And what policy can we develop that maybe is less frustrating. And so that's sort of what the goal of this workshop is, to help you decide, I guess, how to come up with a policy that works well. And I asked our teachers, you know, what they think of our policy before I came here, and they felt like it works fairly well. So I think I shared, on the back of the form there is the policy that, pretty close to the policy that we would use. Okay, so just curious, how many of you are in charge of the excused absence requests that come in? Somewhat? Okay. How many of you are board members? Okay. All right. Well, one of the things I wanted to do in changing the policy is I didn't want to be the bad guy. I wanted to make the board the bad guy. So, so maybe what we'll do is just sort of go into, sort of work down over the handout that I have here on establishing school absence policies, and just, you know, think about what some of the things we should consider when coming up with a policy. So first of all, there, what does the state require, or what works for the state? And some of the states are different. You know, I think all states, we have children are required to be enrolled in education between certain ages, and that may vary a little bit. I think Pennsylvania is between 8 and 17 is what it says, if you look on the Department of Education. And the information is usually online. You can pretty much find that out. Schools are also required to excuse certain absences. You have death in the family, sickness, religious holidays. And then I think it, at least in Pennsylvania, it says something, it says about educational trips. Anyhow, even death in the family or death, you know, how many days are they allowed to take? Some of those things can be a challenge at times. Some people want more than others. It doesn't usually happen a lot, but maybe sickness is more of a challenge. Were they truly sick? We had somebody this year who they were claiming to be sick. They had one of their children were off 8 different days so far this year, and the other child was off 12 days, I think, or 12 or 15. And they were claiming that they had sore throat, and I'm not sure what all. So I just talked with them and said, hey, look, you know, your child should be at school whether they have, I mean, unless they have a fever and are, you know, puking or something. So, and if this, if the thing of just taking off whenever you want continues, well, the other thing is we had some clues. People saw that they were, even the child was posting things on Facebook on the day that they were supposedly sick. So, you know, those were some things that I told her that people were questioning whether they were actually sick. And anyhow, also it sort of unfortunately runs a little bit in the family as well. Some of the prior students we've heard that they have opened the window in the mornings to, you know, try to get a little bit of a sore throat so that they can say they have sore throat and then, you know, take off of school for the day. Anyhow, so sickness can be a challenge. How do we handle somebody that is continually truant, or how many consecutive absences required before doctor's notice? And in that family's case, we soon had to say, all right, if you're off for sickness, we need to have a doctor's notice, even for one day, because we can't have this thing where you're, you know, just taking off whenever you want. So some variations at times. Religious holidays, we usually take off for most of those. Educational trips, that's probably our challenge. What is educational? Well, I took my family to the trying to think what they call it down there in Florida, you know, the Israel experience or whatever, you know. They, you know, but what is educational? And I think this becomes a challenge. Actually, I mentioned the place I stayed last evening. I mentioned something about the topic, and they said, well, their children would like to take off for a butchering day. I mean, what's more educational than that? You know, there's a lot of different things, and it becomes a real challenge as to what do we allow. In talking to local school districts, and basically what we are required in Pennsylvania is to report over, I think, 3 unexcused absences to the local school district. But they have their struggles as well, and they don't really care about what we're doing in a sense. Their problems are a lot larger than what ours are. And, you know, so what can we do to, and a lot of times people have talked about reporting it, and the school district is like, who cares? I mean, they're not even interested really in talking about the situation. At times they are thankful that you did report it. So anyhow, what can we learn from the local school districts? They do develop their policies as well. And one thing, they are probably more strict than what we are. You know, they don't even, I don't even think they allow, a lot of the school districts would allow for an extra day for hunting. You know, they have to be probably more strict in what they allow or do not allow. Okay, so jumping to the next thing there, what does the church require? What works for the church? We have convictions. One thing I thought of there, we have people that, at least in our church, would feel that maybe it's wrong to go skiing or golfing or something like that. But we also have people in our school who, or at least those people wouldn't feel comfortable doing those activities. And then we have some people in our school who tend to look at it, well, what's the difference between hunting and skiing? They say, I mean, the hunter carries his stick up the hill, shoots the animal, and comes back down the hill. I go up the hill, I put my sticks on the bottom of my feet and come down the hill. I mean, what's the difference, you know? And so you have, what do we do? And so I came to the conclusion that, you know, is the school supposed to be trying to make these decisions as to what is right and what is wrong as far as taking off and things like that? It becomes a difficult thing. And so we sort of came to the conclusion that it's, you know, the church can decide on some of those things, but for us, it would be easier if we don't distinguish between hunting or skiing and things like that. And I'll get a little more into that later. Basically, our policy as far as what is educational, we have gone a little more the route of as long as a parent is along on the activity. And it seems to have pretty well worked. I recently had a girl that wanted to take off for a volleyball tournament in Canada. So she wanted to go up there and put in a request. And I said, well, is a parent going along on the trip? And she said, no. She's going with her friends. Well, I said, then I can't excuse it. And anyhow, talking to the parent then, the parent said, well, that's what we were hoping the answer would be. Thanks a lot. So, last week I had an 11th grader who wanted to go shopping for wedding fabric. She wanted to go along with the rest of the bridal party to New York City. Let's go shopping for fabric. And I said, well, is a parent along? And No, she said, but it would be, you know, she's going to be in the bridal party, and it's the mother of the bride is going along, and it's a pretty good chance that this is her future mother-in-law. And
it's,
anyhow, so we did allow her to take off with, you know, the mother of the bride being the legal guardian in that situation, but... So a lot of challenges, and sometimes it can be frustrating. Sometimes you roll your eyes, but hopefully we are communicating to these parents how difficult it is for somebody to take off, and then also what is their value of education? What are we doing for that? And was sort of my thought there on the education there. What are we doing to encourage students to stay at school? Some of you say, you know, they're paying tuition. Why don't they want their child to be at school to be getting the education? But some parents don't really think of it in that way. But we do need to encourage them to stay at school, study, to show yourself approved unto God. And okay, so jumping down to what does the school require, what works for the school, and the first one there, how can you protect the administrator or principal? And I guess my thought was blame the board. it's a group of people. It's not usually, our board is very large compared to most boards. We actually have 12 board members, and so... they don't know who I'm blaming when I'm blaming the board. So we have three supporting churches, and so we have three board members from each church plus a ministerial advisor from each church. And works well, shares the workload around. And there are just four on the executive committee, the chairman, vice chairman, secretary, and treasurer. And usually if I do have something that's questionable, I will email those four. First of all, if it is a, you know, I would like to take my children out of school for 3 weeks to go teach Bible school, that would have to go to the full board. And we haven't had that very often, thankfully. So, okay, so what does... How do we blame the board? And one situation came to my mind. One patron takes off at least 2 days for hunting every year, and now 1 year he decided that he should take his family to Nicaragua to visit somebody down there mission work. So he wanted his 2 days for 1 day for bear hunting, 1 day for deer hunt, an extra day for deer hunting. And he wanted 8 days, I think, for his trip to Nicaragua. Sorry, but the board only approved 7 days total. And usually what we do is our policy actually says up to 3 days without asking as long as a parent is along, I think is what it is. Under 2A, 3 days are usually excused per year per student without careful examination of the purpose of the absence, as long as a parent or legal guardian is present with the student on the days they are off, and grades are high enough to afford time off of school. So, but we actually do allow up to 7 days, and usually we sort of look at it as if they go all the way up to seven, we like to see some type of mission work in somewhere in those 7 days. We only like to allow up to five total if it's just a Florida vacation, but we'll go up to seven, and it's worked pretty well. After that, there's no grace. It's unexcused. They get 2% knocked off per day per subject, but we do pick the best day. I mean, we do tell the parent that we'll pick the best day. That affects the least amount of subjects and so forth. So, because it is unfortunate that the student has to be punished for the parents' choices. And that's... so I told him, no, the board's... And usually, well, I'll take it to the board and then get back to you. So, you know, email the board members or whatever, see what... And sometimes I just, you know, just share what I would suggest and see if they're okay with that, and they'll reply, yep, sounds good. And then I come back, you know, the board said we're only going to allow up to 7 days. Well, he decided he can't skip his bear hunting and his deer hunting, and that's what I suggested. I said, why don't you just skip taking off for the hunting this year and take your trip to Nicaragua? Well, he cut back, I think, 6 days, the trip to Nicaragua, and he still took off his 2 days for hunting, so the students had one unexcused absence. We picked the best day. He felt like we were, you know, somewhat working for him. Seemed pretty happy with that. So what works for the school? Make the process easy. And what we do is we take this form. They're supposed to fill one form out per student and fill out the information at the top there. Maybe behind parent signature, I have read this absence policy. Maybe that would, or absence request form. That may help, because we talk about in there about, you know, prayer is strongly encouraged before making a decision or removing any student from the classroom. And hopefully they do think through their process. Are they, you know, do they really have to be taking the student out? We've had, maybe I'll just come back to that a little bit, but as far as our process, they try to get they're supposed to get this form filled out a week before and get it turned into us at least 1 week before. We had it 2 weeks before. You still have, you know, all those last minute requests that are really a pain at times. But get the form in as early as you can, and then I sign it at the bottom there, circle excused, and give two copies back to the teacher. The teacher gives one to the student, goes to the parent. So works pretty well. I think I've had about 100, 150 requests so far this year, and so the process goes pretty smoothly for some of those. And that's per student. That's not necessarily the amount of total requests. I mean, if a family has 8 children, they have to fill this paper out 8 times. But, hey, that's fine. So we don't want the process to become too easy for them. So. What do we do with... what do we do? Okay, and there again, if it's unexcused, I usually write the reason maybe at the bottom, or I usually contact the parent as well. Hey, look, we aren't going to be able to excuse the full amount, so some of it's going to be unexcused. We will pick the best day. It's in February, so hopefully, you know, maybe we'll be off one of those days, but no, maybe not. But as far as we do try to pick the best day. And for example, I guess our board chairman is the one that's struggling with the amount of days this year, unfortunately, but his one son went to a CAM project with him, which is fine, and I think he's going to just go over it a little bit here. Thankfully, on the days that his son was on the CAM project, the seniors were in Nicaragua, and we did a life skills class with the 11th grade. So they actually didn't have any subjects that were graded that week. So he can we'll take a few of those days as unexcused, and it doesn't affect his grades at all. So, but yeah, at least it. I think the policy that we have seems to work fairly well. Make it easy for the teacher. And I talked to different people about when, as far as a time frame, as far as when they should get their homework completed. And some of the teachers said they liked the idea of getting their homework done ahead of time. One of the things that we did is they only have to catch up on their homework after they're back. Actually, I think it's a little more consistent. So, and the teachers are okay with that and seem to like it. They said that, okay, so if somebody's sick, well, you're only going to get your work caught up after the fact. And so if absences are the same, they don't have to be trying to get all the things together, think of, oh, you know what, I didn't have a science class planned. We'll probably be doing this and that. So it can become a little frustrating for the teacher just knowing, you know, what they were going to have planned as far as homework and all that. And then, okay, you have to get it to them early enough so that they can get it back to you before that, because they're leaving this date. So we went with get the homework completed after the fact, and seems to work fairly well. We've had times that parents have, okay, so if you do have a policy in place, you have to get this in 1 week before, and you have to have all your homework finished. What do you do with the last minute things? I've had a parent call, say, you know what, we're headed to Virginia, and we only thought of it today that it would be really nice to leave at about 11 o'clock because traffic gets really bad on 81, and, you know, is there any way we could take off? Okay, well, it's excused, just be in contact with the teacher about it, and make sure you fill out one of these blue papers. And everybody knows what I mean by the blue paper, the blue form, and that's why I put it on blue paper. So, you know, we have that at times where last minute, but they are required to fill it out after the fact, even though it's sometimes excused. I mean, you have things come up like, oh, our friends are adopting a child. We just found out the other day that some of the other friends are taking their children to the court hearing, and we didn't realize that. And, you know, is there any way we could take our children? You have things, you know, farmers at times. Could I take my child out for some extra help on the farm tomorrow? We didn't realize it was going to be so nice this week, and we're just running short on help. You know, so a lot of different challenges. So we try to encourage taking off ahead of time, but also discourage taking off over, you know, end of quarters, final test time, things like that. Okay. I have their reimbursement. And on the elementary side, grades 1 through 6, we do suggest a $20 donation to the teacher. This is for the extra work in writing down the assignments, helping the parents, helping the children get caught up after the fact, and help the parents just to realize that it is a pain for the child to be out of the classroom. For 7th through 12th, we take a little different approach. We require the student to get their homework assignments from another student. They're not allowed to ask the teacher. And so they do that, works very well. It's up to their friend if they want to require reimbursement for doing the work for them. So actually, when a student is sick, the teachers have found it to be helpful. Oh, so-and-so's not here today. Do you mind taking down the assignments for so-and-so? And a lot less work on the teacher. So, you know, I don't know how you punish the student, or if you do punish the student, or how you punish the parent for taking off, but it's can be a challenge to know a little bit what to do there. What do the school patrons prefer? What works for them? I think they do like something structured, something maybe also flexible, but they do like to know where we stand. And, you know, we've sort of come across, well, educational, I guess, you know, as long as the parent is with, hopefully they can have an educational time. We don't necessarily require that they write a report or anything on the event, but there are times I roll my eyes. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're taking off for this, and it's like, yeah, do they really have to? You know, even things like, in our area, it's the York Farm Show is going on, and here, you know, it's not open in the evenings. And tomorrow's the last day, and I wanted to take my boys down there. It's like, I mean, do you really have to, or can't they just wait till they're out of school, or, you know, some of those things. But can we be flexible for people to take off for the farm or for the home? Recently, we just had someone who the mother is paralyzed, I think, from the waist down, and the dad was sick, and the person that normally takes care of them didn't want to come in because of all the sickness in the house, and so the daughter said, well, can I take off of school to go home and help? Well, absolutely. You know, can we be flexible with something like that? Or we have people that, you know, a wedding in another state, or, you know, we have some German Baptists, and they have communion sometimes in other states, you know, so can we be a little flexible? Leaving Friday for a family vacation. I hate to be too lenient, but what can we do to make it easier on the teacher, and do we have a policy in place that they aren't taking off too often? And I'm not sure how to gauge that, but are people, I guess, are patrons complaining? Are they upset? Or are they satisfied? So what are your thoughts? I'm not sure.
And that's fairly open to just...
Yeah, okay. Any other quick questions or comments?
I saw you have here at least 1 week. Is that pretty much, you don't give me a week notice, you don't get it?
We don't, but it is nice to have that there. You know, if it's something that's questionable or whatever, we could use it against them. Sure. Well, you didn't get this in 1 week in advance, so... Okay, thank you. Hopefully we learned something.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.